book, How Lovely is Your Dwelling Place? Yes. Number 90, How Lovely is Your Dwelling Place? There's a hunger deep inside our soul that is for God's presence among us. Let us pray. Dear God, this is our desire in our soul. We long for your presence. We long to hear you. So, Lord, this is our prayer. Speak to us. We commit our time before you. Open our ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have been keep on sharing about the theme vision. This is my seventh time. My key verse is Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. What is revelation? Revelation is not, or sometimes we say it's vision. Vision is not about something strange, but God's revealing about himself, revealing about his plan, revealing about his work, his will, his heart. And in the end, we know more about God himself. Knowing his plan has got to change our life. It's going to govern our footsteps, giving us direction in our life, help us to make difficult choices in times of difficulty. I have shared about the visions of Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Balaam, Joshua. From their visions, we can know about that God wants to give himself to men as a reward to men. God wants to dwell among men. God wants to be our protector. God wants to build a nation to glorify his name. But God must be the commander. And the last few times we shared about the visions of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. From their visions, we know that God is our Savior. We know the salvation of God in the books of Isaiah. We know the judgment of God in the books of Jeremiah. And we know that God is a holy God in the book of Ezekiel, in the vision of Ezekiel. And last time I shared about Daniel. And there's a key verse there that everyone should know: the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Most High rules in the kingdom of men. This little phrase repeated four times in the book of Daniel. So even though Israel was taken and no more, but don't think Babylon rules, no. Persian rules, no. Greek rules, no. Romans rule, no. God rules in the kingdom of men. So that's the message from Daniel. So, following the history of the Old Testament, we come to the time of restoration. Remember, we talked about Daniel last time. Daniel prayed about for the captives to return to Babylon. So it's the time about these people return to Babylon. And today I'm going to talk about the visions of Zechariah. There are 29 Zechariah in the Bible, and this one is serving God at that time. Now, what does the word Zechariah mean? The meaning of this name is Yahweh remembers. I think this is really important. When we return, when we start to do God's work, know that it's not about you, it's about God. He remembers that his promise, and that's why people can return and rebuild Jerusalem. So after 7 years, God has not forgotten. People returned according to his word because God remembers. Now, Zechariah is like Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He's both a priest and a prophet. In the book of Zechariah, there are 14 chapters. The first six chapters talk about eight visions. And chapter 7 and 8 talk about some questions from the people. And from chapter 9 to 14, talk about two burdens regarding the coming of the Messiah. So I'm not going to talk about the main theme is not about the whole book, but I'm focusing on the visions of Zechariah. These eight visions come to Zechariah in one night. So people say he shouldn't have much sleep that night, isn't it? Eight visions. Imagine, think back about Nebuchadnezzar. He only got one dream and he forgot the dream. But Zechariah got eight visions in one night. One single night. Why? Why would God give Zechariah eight visions? Why is that so important, giving the visions to him? Actually, not to Zechariah, but to the people at that time. So we must think about what's so special about these people coming back. Why do they need such vision? Such visions speaks to them. Why? So we want to know about the time of Zechariah. So the visions come to a person for that time. So that time must be really important. And not only for that time, must be related to us. So what about the visions of Zechariah? How does that relate to us today? So we must go back to the history of the restoration of Jerusalem. Now, before we go further down, let's remember something. In the past, I mentioned about there are three waves of captives taken to Babylon. Okay? The first wave is from 606 BC, where Daniel was taken. The second time Babylonians came and took captives is at 597 BC. So then Ezekiel was taken. And in the end, 586 BC, the last time, and then Babylon, they destroyed Jerusalem. So after 70 years, what time would that be? How do we count? So the 70 years is count from the first wave. So 606 minus 7. So the time must be around 536 BC. So according to God's words, has to be fulfilled, it must be around 536 BC. So when we look at that time, at 539 BC, the Persian king Cyrus destroyed the Babylonian Empire. So before we go further down, let's think about what happens when these captives are taken away from Jerusalem. Are they precious? Are these captives precious in the eye of God? Or are they bad in the eye of God? That's why God want to punish them. Is it better to stay in Jerusalem or being a captive? What would you choose? You prefer to stay in Jerusalem if you can choose, or you want to be captives? So let's look at Jeremiah first. Jeremiah in chapter 24. Verse 3 to 7. Jeremiah chapter 24. In verse 1, it says, God showed Jeremiah two baskets of figs. One basket have very good figs, the other baskets have very bad figs. So what does these two basket of figs means? So in verse 3, the Lord said to Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, the good figs, very good, and the bad, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captives from Judah. So the one who are taking captives, they are good in the eyes of the Lord, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good. So if back then, if you were captives taken away, not because the Lord hates you, but in fact it's for your own good, to protect you from the corruption of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was getting so worse. God is going to punish Jerusalem. So God has to take away some captives to preserve them. Where? By God's wisdom, he kept them in Babylon. So they are the good figs for their own good. So it touched my heart. God allowed they being captives. You may feel differently. God must hate me. God has abandoned us. No, for your own good. God allowed such thing happened to you. And what goes on then? For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back. So after 70 years, God is bringing them back. I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. Remember the name of Jeremiah? It means destroy and build up at the same time. So God is going to build these people. How would God build them up? Now notice, so often we say, these people go back to Jerusalem to build the temple for God, as if they are doing something, as if they are doing God a favor. But look here, it's not they are doing God a favor, but God doing them a favor, in fact. Then I will give them a heart to know me, and I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me. Not return to Jerusalem. Not return to worship.
not return to have building a temple. But in God's heart, they bring these people back, not just getting back to normal. Oh, if we go back to Jerusalem, it's fine. If we have a temple, that's good. We can start gathering together. Oh, if we come back to Auburn to worship, everything is fine. No, not coming just back to Jerusalem. Or not just coming back to have meeting here. God wants us to come back, return to me with their whole heart. So brothers and sisters, if you're thinking about, oh, should I come back to Auburn to meeting? Yes, come back. But more important, not return to Auburn, not return to meetings, but return to me. That is the heart of God. Most important thing is return to me. Okay, now, so in at the time of 538 BC, if we turn to the book of Ezra, chapter 1, the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. The time is 538 BC. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me. Now, let me stop here. Some historian, Josephus, he mentioned about this. At that time, Daniel was still at the prime minister, becomes the prime minister in the Persian Empire, okay, before the king. So he took the book of Isaiah and showed Cyrus' name in the book of Isaiah before Cyrus. Cyrus was very impressed. Oh, God knows that I'm the king. So he shows favor to these Jews, allowing them to go back, because he was amazed. So that's why King Cyrus liked the Jews, and he allowed them to go back. So let's continue from verse 2. And he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you, all his people? May his God be with him. Now let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord of God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of the Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites and all those whose spirits God has moved. Notice that. God is doing a lot of things here, the Spirit of God. In verse 1, it says the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus king, so it's God's work. In verse 5, these people whose spirits God had moved. So it's not by, you want to do it yourself, it's the Spirit of God touched your heart. So these people willing to put down their good lives in Babylon. We know Jews are very good at doing business, isn't it? So after 70 years, many of them have starting to have a good lives in Babylon. So for them to put down their good lives and travel all the way back to from Babylon to Jerusalem, how far was that? According to, I Googled it, the distance is about similar to from, if you walk from here, Sydney, to Melbourne. It's longer than this. Something about this, 900 miles from Jerusalem just by walk, okay? Don't forget you have to climb the mountains. Don't forget you have to carry a lot of livestock. It's not easy. It's a long journey. So they travel all the way back. They must have a sincere heart to do so. So when they went back to Jerusalem, what did they do? When they went back to Jerusalem, first they rebuilt the altar
in chapter 3, verse 2. And then they rebuilt the foundation. When they see the foundation of the temple was laid, oh, they were so joyful. They weep and they shout with joy. But then in chapter 4 in the book of Ezra, at that time the people don't like them to rebuild the temple there. So they came and opposition came, the enemies come, and they try to stop the building. And because of that time, new kings come to the throne. So the new kings don't care about, maybe he didn't realize, so he stopped the building at the building process. So the building process stopped from 536. Notice they make a small step. They laid the foundation, they built the altar, but after that, they stopped because opposition comes. So, and they stopped for how long? They stopped for almost 16 years. So by the time when Zechariah came to serve the Lord, it's at 520 BC. So if we jump to Ezra chapter 5, the book of Ezra chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it talks about at the time then. At 520 BC, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, this is the prophet I'm talking about. Notice Haggai and Zechariah, the last, these two prophets worked together at the same time. The son of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, in some other place they named this name Joshua, the son of Josedek, rose up and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. So Haggai and Zechariah, because these people stopped for 16 years, they make a big sacrifice from traveling from all the way from Babylon to come back to Jerusalem. They did build something, the altar and the foundation, and then they stopped. What happened in these 16 years? What happened? Why do they stop? Why don't they pray to God? Why do they stop? So these prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, come back and they speak words to encourage these people to continue with the work of God. So before we go to Zechariah, let's see what's the condition of these people in through the book of Haggai. So we go to the book of Haggai. And we read from Haggai the first chapter, the chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 7. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month. Now, this second year, remember, this is second year in the sixth month. Okay? On the first year of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now, why do they stop? Oh, the difficulties come. Maybe this is not the time, so they stop. They, in their mind, not the right time. Yes, the Lord wants the house. Yes, the Lord has a purpose as a will, but not now. Not today. Maybe future, in the far future. So that's why people stop. Brothers and sisters, so often we stop because maybe it's not the right time. I'm so busy right now. I got so many things to involve. Now, maybe not now. So that's why they stop. And when they stop, their focus, their attention is to what? Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, in verse 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? That means now their focus is their comfort. Now their focus is about their life, how to live a more comfortable life. In the beginning, they think about, remember in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about the glory of God's departure from Jerusalem. God left Jerusalem. People was taken captives, temple in ruin. Now these people coming back, they know if they want God to come back according to the prophet's prophecy, they have to rebuild the temple. So if they want God to come back, they have to build the temple for God to come back. So in their heart, if they love God, if they want God to come back, what would they do? They would travel all the way back to build the temple. But now, because of difficulty, they did not try to continue. They stopped all the way. And now they put their focus on themselves. They move back, focusing to live a better life in Jerusalem.
And what would that happen? What following that? So they think about paneled houses, making it more luxury there. Today in our houses, we all have paneled houses, but back then, paneled houses speaks of luxury, isn't it? And now, therefore, thus says the Lord of God, consider your ways.
Consider your ways can also mean give careful thoughts, think about. This word consider appeared 5 or 6 times in the book of Haggai. Think. You travel all the way back here and stop. Think.
You have so much and bring in little. Think. Why? You pay so much effort. How much you gain? You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are not satisfied. Why? Think, consider your ways. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. Why? The Lord is asking you. 16 years, I have been sending you message. Can you read the signs? You are not satisfied. Why? Because I'm not satisfied. And he who earn wages to put in a bag with holes. You have so much effort for yourself. In the beginning, you pay the effort is to serve me, but now you try to serve yourself. Think, brothers and sisters, think about your life right now, your work. Is there an emptiness inside? The effort you pay doesn't give you satisfaction. Why? Are you trying to satisfy God or satisfying yourself? Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Second time, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You have made a sacrifice. You have come back. You have made a little progress. So often, yes, the Lord loves us. We want to go back. We want to serve him. But when we make a little steps, or we build the altars, or we build the foundations, oh, that's good. We are happy. And then we stop. And then we focus in our life. But we are not happy. We are not satisfied because we have not completed what the Lord's want. We are satisfied. We are happy with making little contribution. And that's it. Oh, I have come to the meeting. Oh, I have joined in, I'm serving in some groups. That's it. That is how much I'm willing to give to my God. That's all. I am satisfied? No, you won't be satisfied. So God is, through Haggai, telling them, consider your ways. So in this second year, the sixth month, the Lord, through Haggai, spoke to them and continued to speak to them. Oh, come. If we read further down, then the Lord told them to go to the mountains, bring wood to build the temple, and so on. Now, and then these people, in verse 14, they respond. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So they respond. They started.
They turned. Oh, wonderful. And we think, is that all? Is that a good ending? Not at all. They started. Once they started, now let's look at in the seventh month in chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. In the second month, in the seventh month, so after 1 month, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest and the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is it not in your eyes as nothing? As nothing. If they don't start, oh, they can imagine, oh, maybe it's really, if we put in our effort, it is going to be glorious. But once they started, well, it's nothing compared to the former glory. So brothers and sisters, this again speaks to us. So often when we try to serve God and we expect glory, success, prosperity. But look at it, what we have done now seems to be meaningless, insignificant, as nothing comparing to the former glory. So sometimes when we serve God, we easily got disappointed. It's not as great as I think. If I put in effort, I expect blessing. But hey, hold on, if we put in effort and notice, it's nothing. And then you may be discouraged, or we may be discouraged because we are still focusing on the former glory. So this is the seventh month. Now, in the eighth month, Zechariah starts to speak. Okay, so just now we have read Haggai spoke of consider your ways in the month the sixth month, the seventh month, because their calendar is different to us, so their sixth month is not our June, okay? Seventh month, now we come to the book of Zechariah. Let's go to the book of Zechariah, chapter 1. The first six words came at the eighth month of the second year of Darius. So it's at the eighth month. So after almost a month, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the priest, saying, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, do they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. So these six verses come at the eighth month. And let me say, the main key word there is return to me. So often we started something. Notice what they have returned from. They have returned from Babylon. They have returned from a comfortable life to in Jerusalem. They have achieved something and they stopped there. They have built an altar. They have built a foundation and they stopped. So they have returned from this as well. Not their achievement, not self-seeking. Oh, I start to think of living a paneled house. So they turn from all this comfort. They turn from all this self-seeking life. So they return. How about they also return from their worries? If we start to build the house of God, would the king give a command to stop us again? Would enemies come and attack us? There are worries around. So there are so many things to stop them. So
If they focus on these difficulties, they won't serve God at all. If they focus on the former glory, nothing. Oh, let's give up. No, you have to return from all this distraction. Return. And return to what? Return to me. Not return to Jerusalem. Not just return to do some work. Not just return to have a better life. Oh, the best life is to serve God. Not return to a good life. Not return to the best life you can have. Not thinking about yourself, but return to me. So it's about your heart. It's about how God is valuable. So how is he valuable, so precious in your heart? So when we come, not just coming back to, so just now I mentioned, we are not coming back to Auburn. We are not just coming back to a meeting. We are not just coming back to the religious, so-called religious life we have before. The most important thing, brothers and sisters, is not come back to like before, but coming back before the Lord, coming back to me, to him, to love him, put him in the first place, to love God. Return to me. How about the fathers, the prophets? The fathers, they have gone their own way. The forefathers, we can't put because of their fault. No, forget about them. Forget about what happened in the past. The people, they have made mistakes in the past. Oh, because of them, we suffered. Because of their mistakes, oh, we are under their influence. Forget about them. It's not about your fathers. It's not about the sins people make. It's about you. It's not about the fault of some others. Oh, the prophets, they preach God's word. They are good, but now they are not here. Oh, where's Jeremiah? Oh, where is Ezekiel? The prophets have gone. Try not to fix your eyes on some spiritual people. You follow the Lord not because you follow them. So take your eyes from the sins of the others. Take your eyes from others. Return to me. When you come back to God, return to me. So this is, I would say, this is the message Zechariah wants to give to the people. Return to me. God's words will come true. Just as the Lord of the hosts determined to do to us according to our ways and according to our deeds, and he has dealt with us. Things are going to follow as God's planned. So this come at the 8th month. So after 3 more months, the visions comes. So on the same year, remember, Haggai speaks to the people in the 6th month, the 7th month. Now, in here, Zechariah speaks on the 8th month. Now, in the 11th month, that starts from chapter 1, verse 7. On that single night, 24th day of 11th month, which is the month Shebat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Bechariah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. And that night, I saw by night. And that night, 8 visions come to him. I'm going to quickly to go through these 8 visions in 15 minutes, I hope. We don't have to go into great details because each vision is going to give you one single main point. So let's see. I would like to point out that. So when you consider your ways, knowing that, I shouldn't go on like that, when you return to me, return. And then God will give you vision to see something. Not if you have not returned, if you have not considered your faith, you're still looking at your paneled house. Oh, look at that. So nice. You won't have vision. So when you turn back to God, now the vision came. What are the vision? The first vision in verse 8. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow.
and behind him were horses red, sorrel, and white.
So that man, many people tell us, that man is Lord himself on a red horse. So he's watching among the myrtle trees. Myrtle trees, they say this speaks of the spiritual state of the Jews at that time. They are not high, but they are low in the hollow. And behind him were horses. These are angels going around everywhere and come back to report to this man on the red horse.
So who is he, and what's the message we can learn from here? If we go to verse 11, these horses going around, and they came back, and they, in verse 11, they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, "We have walked to and fro and throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly."
Now is the time. It's peaceful. Now is the time to do something. And then in verse 12, the angel of the Lord answered and said, "O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry with these 70 years?" And the Lord answered the angel, who talked to me with good and comforting words. Notice the Lord's attitude to this angel, very special, with good and comforting words, as if the Lord is comforting him. So people say this angel is very special. It must be our Lord himself. So the angel who spoke with me to say, "Proclaim thus saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem." So the first key words in this whole vision, I would say, the Lord is zealous. The Lord has not changed. 70 years, we are now not seeing Daniel praying. We are not seeing people, but the Lord himself. He is zealous. He has never changed. What is the vision? The vision is, look, the Lord is very zealous. How come you guys are on holiday? No. And and for Zion with great zeal, I'm exceedingly angry with the nation at ease, for I was a little angry and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, said the Lord of hosts. And the surveyor lines shall be stretched out over Jerusalem, again proclaiming, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion. So in this vision, simply tells us that the Lord is still zealous, burning for Jerusalem. And now we go to the second vision. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18 to 24, this is the second vision. Now all these visions, then I raise my eyes, then I see, then I raise my eyes, then I raise my eyes. We can see the raise my eyes a few times. So when your heart is right, God will show you something. Then you raised your eyes and look, there were four horns. What are these horns? What are these? These are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So these are the military force. Some people talk about what are these four horns? Are these four countries, or are these pestilence or famine? Many different interpretations from different brothers. We don't have to worry too much about who are these four horns, but at least we know these are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could lift up his head. That means Judah will be humbled before the Lord. So all this Babylonian Empire, whoever they brought Judah down, humbled themselves. They can't be proud before the Lord. There are four craftsmen, but the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns. So God can raise up craftsmen to deal with the horns. So often we think, oh, the Lord has to teach us a lesson. Sometimes God gives us trouble. God raised up some horn to humble us in our daily lives. But they are not invincible. God can raise craftsmen to deal with the horns. So that means everything is in God's hand. Horns, they can come, but craftsmen can overtake the horns. God can judge these horns through the craftsmen. So the second vision simply tells us, yes, enemies
came to torture the Jews, but God can judge them. Judgment of the enemies. Second vision. We come to the third vision in the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Then I raised my eyes and looked, behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? To measure Jerusalem, to see what is width and what is length, to see the size. And there was the angel who talked to me going out with an other angel was coming up to meet him, who said, run, speak to this young man. So Zechariah was a young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. So look at this. The town will be expanded so much. Jerusalem will be growing because of the multitudes of men and livestock, so growing so fast, there couldn't be any wall. Go over the wall. But that doesn't mean that they are unprotected, because God will be a wall of fire all around her. So we can see the growth of Jerusalem. So this picture, this vision simply tells us that Jerusalem is going to be great. It's that simple. Let's come to the next vision in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Another vision. This is vision number 4. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Why? How can he oppose him? And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is it not a brand plucked out from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and was standing before the angel. Filthy garments speaks of the sin, sinfulness. The priest with sin. How can he serve the Lord? So Satan has a ground to condemn him. But what did the Lord say? Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. So we can see the people, not just Joshua, actually it's the people at their work. They have sinned, but look what God has done. Because they are willing to serve God, God will dealt with their sin. God will cleanse them, give them garments. And if we look at verse 8, O hear Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch. So in here, it also speaks of the coming of our Lord, the branch. So how would they become clean? Because of the coming of the branch. When the Lord Jesus came, he took away the sins of the world. And this is how they are cleansed. So the problem of sin can be dealt with in the vision number 4. So all problems are going to be solved. God has a full plan, a whole plan. Now let's come to the vision 5. When we try to serve God, we think of all kinds of difficulties. Our sin, our weakness. How can we serve God? How can God's Jerusalem can be prosperous? In verse 5. Now the angel who talked to me came back and waked me up as a man who is waking out of sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other as its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So he saw a lampstand, gold, with bowls on top, and there are 2 olive branches. giving oil to this gold lampstand so that it keeps on burning. So it speaks of something. It speaks of how can the lamp can keep shining. And the answer is on verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So that means when we come to do the God's work, when we feel we are weak, and the Lord reminds us, not by might, not by power, but the spirit continue. It's that the two branches, the two trees, olive trees, on both sides, maybe it is mentioned further down, speaks of the continuous supply of oil to the golden lampstand. That's why it can give out the light. So that speaks of God's continuing support with the Spirit. So what are you, O great mountains? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Yes, there are difficulties. If you want to live a lazy life, no difficulties. Mountains, you can see it, you don't have to do anything about it. But even here, there were mountains, all great mountains shall become a plain. Okay? So God's Spirit will be with us. So in the fifth vision, it talks about the power of the Spirit. Okay, now we come to the next three visions. The next three visions is the number six is in Zechariah chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. A flying scroll. Okay, then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there's a flying scroll. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. It's a 20 times 10, 30 meters flying on the sky."
I'm glad he says it's a flying scroll, not a magic carpet, isn't it?
So then he said to me,
"This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled. According to the size of the scroll, every perjurer shall be expelled." So one side is the curse about thief, sin against your fellow man, and perjurers, sin against God. So this speaks of the curse. The Lord's words is going out throughout the land to judge the sins of individual. "It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it and his timber and stones." That means God's judgment will come to deal with every sin in man. And then the next vision, in seventh vision, Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5 to 11. "Then the angel who talked with me came out and saying to me, 'Lift your eyes now and see what is that goes forth.' So I asked, 'What is it?' And he said, 'It is a basket that is going forth. This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a let this lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket.'" So he can see a basket, a woman in the basket, and there's a lead disc to cover it. So who is that woman? Verse 8. "Then he said, 'This is wickedness.'" So the woman speaks of the wickedness, the sin. "And he thrust her down in the basket and threw the lead cover over his mouth." So sin is dealt with, locked in this basket, covered with a heavy lead cover on top. "Then I raised my eyes and looked, there were two women coming with the wind in their wings. For they had wings like wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. And I said to angel who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket? To build a house for it in the land of Shinar, that is in Babylon.'" So sin was taken, dealt with, and taken back to Babylon. So in Babylon, remember the Tower of Babel is where man starts to rebel against God. So sin is dealt with from the nations. Is being dealt with, taken care of. Not only that, when we come to the last vision in chapter 6, verse 1 to 7.
Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of bronze. And the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot dappled horses, strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth." So this chariot speaks of the angels sent out to different parts of the earth to judgment. Bronze speaks of the judgment. So God is going to judge the sins of all the world. So throughout all these visions, all eight visions grouped together, what do we see? We can see the seal of God is in Jerusalem. He wants to build Jerusalem. Don't worry about the enemies. God is going to judge them. Don't worry about the horns. God can raise up craftsmen. Don't worry about your sin. I can take away your sin. Don't worry about your weakness. Not by might, but by the power of the Spirit. How about sin? Sin is going to be dealt with. Individual sin, the sin in the nation, the sin of the whole land. God is going to judge. God is still in control. So these visions given to Zechariah is for these people. Don't think of any other more excuse. God rules. So come back to us today. How does all this relate to us? So I think the messages from Haggai and the messages from Zechariah speaks to us. Consider our ways, brothers and sisters, today. For those, for the Jews who are willing to stay in Jerusalem, stay in Babylon, they don't care about, they just want blessing from God, maybe, and they don't care about the coming, they don't care about the presence of God, they don't care about the temple of God, they remain in Babylon. But for those who have a heart for the Lord, they're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to travel all the way back to Jerusalem. So this speaks of Christians who have a heart. They think not for themselves. They think about what is the will of God? Oh, the Lord wants to come back. There must be a temple. A temple is not for us. A temple speaks of we want him to come back to us. Speaks of our love to God. So for those who are touched, stirred up in the Spirit by God, moved by the Spirit of God, you want to please God. You want to come to build the temple. You want to come to have a part in building the church of God. You travel all the way back. Now, so often we have made a little contribution and then we stop. And the message to us is, consider your ways. Don't stop. Continue. And return from all this distraction. Oh, I sowed, but I gathered little. I clothed, but not warm. Consider your ways. Think about what happened to us. God is telling us, come back to me. Return to me. Return to me. So may we listen and respond to our God. Not just coming back to so-called normal gathering. Oh, come back to Auburn, come back to sing songs, gathering, having fellowship. Not just outwardly, not just superficially coming back to the so-called the religious life. No, come back to him. Let him be the first. And let us see. And then when God opens our eyes to see he's so zealous for Jerusalem, to see his building. Yes, we have weakness, not by might, not by power, but by the power of the Spirit. Yes, we have sin. When we are not involved in God's work, we don't feel about how sinful we are. But when we involve, then we realize we need cleansing from the blood, by the blood of Christ. So don't worry, God provides all. He's going to judge sin one day. So let us respond to our God. Let us respond to his call. Let us pray. Father, may we hear the words of the prophets to consider our ways and return to you. May you open our eyes and raise our eyes so that we can see you are zealous for your people. You want to build your people today. May we really return to you and give us the vision, Lord. And may our life be meaningful before you. May our work be precious in your eyes. We commit everyone into your hand. Lord, do something in our life. Help us to return to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we finish, let us sing one more song. 20, Be Thou My Vision. O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. 20.
We praise God. Thank God that the message has been spoken. And I believe everyone here, if you have an undistracted time to be here in the last hour, you have heard the message. I hope the message not only be spoken, but also spoken into your hearts. For those who are at home, if you're by yourself, you don't have any distraction. I believe also that this message has been spoken. But if you are at home and no one's with you and you are very casual and relaxed and listen to the message and then go to do something else and come back to listen to the message, I encourage you to pay attention to the message so that we encourage one another. There's some announcement. We encourage brother and sister to gather before the Lord, not by themselves alone. We encourage one another to meet with other brother and sister, to have fellowship, to worship the Lord together. Encourage us to assemble with others, not for our own benefit, but for God's desire. Maybe we have a lot of different kinds of mountains, just like Paul said. The Lord said to Zerubbabel that all great mountain will become plain. Maybe when we encourage you to come to meet with brother and sister, you may think of in the early morning on Sunday, very hard to get up. Maybe this is your big mountain. But if you have a heart to come, then the Lord will make the mountain become plain. In these days of consumerism, we always want to choose something, a product very convenient for us, less costly, cheap and good, easy, we like it, and then we buy it. But sometimes this kind of consumerism affects our mentality to treat worshiping the Lord like a product. We want to find something cheap and convenient and forget the real meaning of worship and gathering with people to have fellowship. We pray that more and more of us can learn to pay a price to worship the Lord so that that worship is a real worship. We don't treat that worship like a product, cheap and easy, and get it. We want to give our hearts to the Lord because the Lord asks us, return to me. Not only come here, but come here with a heart to please the Lord because he's worthy. So that we don't treat the great salvation, the great love of God, the salvation of the cross so cheap like other products. So we encourage all of you, if you are at home, especially those you are just by yourself at home, not meeting with other brothers and sisters. Just come. Make an effort to come. Pay a price to come. Even take risk to come. Last Sunday, we have 19 people. But today, we have 23, I think, if I count correctly, excluding the AV brothers. So I hope that next week we can at least fill up this floor. If we have more people, we can sit at the gallery so that we can learn, not only come, but come with a heart returning to the Lord. So this COVID-19 change, not to make us lazy, but make us have a fresh need to worship the Lord with other brothers and sisters. Sense of needs. So our meeting ends here. Because the Chinese meeting at the moment is starting at 10:30, so we can't break bread here. So next week we'll be breaking bread here. The Chinese meeting will be at 11 o'clock. So But for today, we can only go to Horsey. And Horsey, we can't accommodate all of you. But anyone you want to call, I encourage you to go. And I already tried to set up the seat setting so the one family can, you know, sit together. If you haven't been saved, you can, yeah, you just feel free. You don't need to go because probably you don't have enough seat for you. But if you have been saved, we encourage you to go. But it's your free choice, right? After that, we can move to the hall C, get our heart ready, and to remember the Lord. Yeah, our announcement stops here.